Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
You know, it's been happening for quite some time, and we are now seeing it with, I guess, an unprecedented state of regularity. It's actually almost epidemic in scale, in my opinion. Known Christian leaders appear to be moving away from the truth that they once held and are now embracing ideas and concepts that have more in common with the New Age movement than Orthodox Christianity. Now, whether it's Hillsong's lead pastor Carl Lentz, who recently appeared on the talk show during the daytime called The View, with compromising opinions on abortion and homosexuality, or John Piper, who appears to be sanctioning what he calls Christian hedonism, or the Bible answer man Hank Hanegraaff committing himself to the Greek Orthodox Church, the truth seems to be that leaders we once thought faithful to orthodoxy, or at least appeared to be, are now in many ways simply abandoning the faith they once seemed to believe in favor of something else altogether. And what's very clear is that these folks, and many others too numerous to list here, appear to have something in common. They seem to have jettisoned God's word in favor of determining truth through their own measure of subjectivity. And this is a major characteristic of how the world thinks, and of course how New Age thought specifically establishes itself, where each person determines their own truth for themselves. Now, not surprisingly, that truth appears to be similar from one person to the next in that arena, but equally opposed to biblical truth. And whether these leaders now teach that there exists more than one path to God, that Jesus is divine but not the God, or that Jesus was only fully human but not God in his humanity as he walked this earth, or that God wants us to have fun and enjoy life, or that it is detrimental and negative and not within God's purposes to discuss sin and its deadly consequences. All of this stems from the same huge lie. And that lie is at the very heart of the New Age movement, which is doing its best to swallow up the visible church. Listen to what Peter says in 2 Peter 2, 1 to 3, and I'm reading from the ESV. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. Again, that's from 2 Peter chapter 2. Now, the tragedy of all this is that it seems, and I want to emphasize the word seems, because it may not be the case, although they are giving us the impression that it is. It seems that many who began the race well have gotten seriously off path. Is it an accident or is it planned? They appear now to be enamored with some form of ecumenism, a desire for unity despite differences in beliefs between Protestantism and Roman Catholicism and other isms besides. And there's a cessation of teaching. They want us to stop teaching those troublesome, divisive doctrines and Bible truths that simply make people feel guilty. You know, sin, hell, eternal death, etc. We need to do away with that. We need to focus on the things that are going to unite people. Well, Peter tells his readers and us that false prophets arose among the people. He's, of course, referring to Israel here. He is stating that the way of truth became very clouded because people already living among the Israelites in that day that he refers to, and possibly even in leadership positions, came out with false teachings and false prophecies. We know of many examples where people opposed Moses from within the camp of Israel, and God had to deal with those individuals. And often, these individuals from Israel, long after Moses, stood against true prophets God had raised up to deliver his message, his clear, truthful message to Israel. And this was very prevalent during our Lord's day as well, as he often went head-to-head with the religious leaders of his day, whether they were the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, whatever. In essence, those individuals, due to their deluded state, which stemmed from their rebellious hearts, preached falsehoods every chance they got. And they did so for one reason. They wanted to continue their lifestyles that they held and the positions they held in the community. And this very thing is happening today. Reverend James Stalker notes that these false prophets, quote, culminated in the lifetime of Jeremiah, whose whole career might almost be described as a conflict with them. And anyone who's familiar with the book of Jeremiah, by the way, can attest to that. It was not an easy road for him. It was fraught with the problems created by false prophets. Again and again, he and the false prophets, Stalker continues, came to war. Open war. And on at least one occasion, the whole body combined to take his life away. Ezekiel was scarcely less afflicted by them. They were perhaps not so prominent an element in the life of Isaiah, but he also refers to them frequently, and indeed their sinister figures haunts the pages of all the prophets, unquote. You know, with respect to the aggressiveness of the false prophets during the Old Testament times of Israel's day, we tend to simply see them as disagreeable, unbelieving men who really had no clue, who were likely used of Satan to withstand the prophets and their message. But it is much more diabolical than that. If we read through Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Acts, or some of the other portions of Scripture, both old and new, we will note that false prophets often stood against the true prophets, or eventually apostles, and deliberately preached lies for their own selfish gain. They wanted to protect their lifestyle. They wanted to protect their position in the community. They often had leadership roles within Israel, whether kings or high priests. However, God himself responded to these false prophets through the mouths of the prophets, telling them in no uncertain terms there would come a day when false prophecies would no longer be heard and no divination would be part of Israel, Ezekiel 12:24. We're not there yet. We are on the cusp of something huge, though, as God's word continues to unfold in these latter days. You know, the passage I read from Peter shows us that Peter is acknowledging these false prophets existed during the Old Testament times and actually rose up among or from the people of Israel. Just because Paul makes it clear that just because people were of Israel didn't mean they really were true Israelites from the heart. Same thing applies to Christianity. We know that our churches are filled with people, both saved and unsaved. We cannot guarantee the salvation of every individual who ever attends any orthodox, heterodox church. We just simply can't do it. We know that the tares are sown among the wheat. And this is exactly why Peter and Paul and others give us the constant decision. They tell us over and over to be careful, to mark, to separate, to know the truth, contend for the faith. Peter stated the very same thing would happen wherever Christians gather as well. False prophets would often be part of that. Peter says, quote, just as there will be false teachers among you, unquote. Peter warned in that statement that it will happen. He isn't saying, hey, you know, this might happen. He is saying it will happen. He even tells them and us how this will occur. He says they will secretly bring in destructive heresies. So often we have people coming into the church and they wind up being in leadership positions because they seem to be okay. They use Christian sounding verbiage. They seem to understand what the orthodox beliefs, the fundamental beliefs of the faith are. They seem to go along with that. And then once they gain the authoritative position, that's when things begin to change. Now, those heresies that eventually start to come out of their mouths create division in the flock, and it's usually done through a form of confusion. And it will be difficult for them to know, for the average person to know and understand what the truth is. And imagine for those people who rarely read God's word, how difficult it will be for them. The Apostle John is even more specific in his denunciation and explanation where false prophets are concerned. Listen to 1 John 2:18 through 19, also from the ESV. Children, it is the last hour, and as you've heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they are all not of us. Note that John says certain individuals, quote, went out from us, but they were not of us, unquote. Well, they only appeared to be part of the true flock because they were part of it physically. They seemed to go along with what was taught. They echoed, mirrored the things that were taught. They gave lip service to those things. However, they eventually came out to be seen for what they were, false prophets, false teachers, whose mission was and is to destroy God's truth, which of course cannot be destroyed. But if they can throw the flock, that local flock, into massive confusion and even get people on their side, then they've won. Now, it's very much like a con artist. A successful con artist gains mastery over his victims by mixing truth with lies. At least in the very beginning, the lies are so small, barely perceptible. But over time, they expand. By then, it is often too late to notice because people have already been overcome by those lies. They cannot see them as lies because the lies have become so ingrained within them. They actually become angry at someone trying to point out the lies they now believe is truth. They see that person as narrow-minded, bigoted, or worse, an enemy of God. Carl Lentz waters down the gospel. And like many today, essentially says that people don't have to be Christians to have a relationship with God. Folks, this is New Age thinking, and it is permeating Christendom. It is causing division among Christians, and it should cause a little bit of division, or at least concern. Churches, unfortunately, are splitting, people leaving to search for a church that is more scriptural. There's this ongoing doctrinal error that is growing today that says you don't have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ to be one with God, to be in Christ, to be a Christian. You can remain a Buddhist. You can be a Hindu. And as long as you look to God, you're good. No, you're not good. Didn't Jesus say, John 14:1-6, part of what he said was, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. What did he mean by that? He meant what he said. There is only one way to God, and it is through Jesus Christ and no other. Now, because of the division that's being created, leaders within Christendom come to the fore begging for unity among Christians. They take Christians to task and attempt to use shame and guilt for not going along with the program. I have to wonder, whose program is it? They argue that this disagreement over words, well, it's actually doctrine and theology, but who's keeping track? Certainly not them. That shouldn't exist because it sends the wrong message to the world, they say. The world sees Christians in disunity, arguing, disagreeing over words. And it simply pushes the lost away from God, we're told. To correct this, Christians are urged to set aside doctrinal and theological differences. Come together for the cause of Christ. The world will then see our love, contrived unity, and come to Jesus. This is not the model set for us in the Bible. That is not the model set for us in the Bible. But let me ask a question here. If the lost do come, to which Jesus will they be coming? If there's a compromise of doctrinal truth about who Jesus is, what he has accomplished for us, what his character is and was like as he walked this earth, and his plans and purposes for humanity and the earth, then this Jesus the lost will meet is nothing more than the New Age Jesus, who is nothing more than the epitome of the Antichrist. Nothing more. Nothing more. That Jesus offers nothing, because that Jesus is not the God, but merely a conception of a God. The New Age teaches that this is what all human beings are capable of becoming as well. You know, we can become little gods, can't we? It's being taught in certain Christian quote-unquote circles. We can become little gods. We are part divine, because there is a divine spark within us, according to the New Age, and according to aspects of Christendom. This is commonly referred to as the Christ consciousness by those who are part of the New Age movement. It's also the spirit of the Antichrist, because it denies the truth about our Lord and Savior, 1 John 2:2. Attorney Constant Cumby has been writing about this slide into the New Age movement by aspects of the visible church for decades. Her first book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, 1983, was followed by another book, A Planned Deception, The Staging of the New Age Messiah, 1985. Those two books show how I believe Satan has been working. I would agree with her in that, to incorporate the visible church into the realm of the New Age movement, effectively blinding people to the truth about God and Christ. You know, it would appear that this strategy that the enemy has been using has been working very well, with more and more Christian leaders today arguing for an ecumenical spirit which should bring Christendom towards some type of union. All of this brings us to one horrible, inescapable conclusion, though. Is it possible that many of these leaders who have always appeared to be stalwart Christians are not? Well, the Apostle John seems to indicate that that could be a possibility. In the end, we've got to acknowledge the possibility. Something has gone awry. Something is wrong. It's happening with too many leaders to simply be coincidental. Is there some underlying problem that has caused this? Are they simply deluded? What is it? Well, Jesus indicates that we will know false prophets and false teachers by their fruit. Now, even though this verse is quoted often, it's normally and incorrectly applied to authentic Christians in the positive, that is, fruit equaling love for others. So you'll know Christians by their fruit. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. Let's look at Matthew 7:15 through 20. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. I mean, the whole context of that is Jesus warning his followers to watch out for false prophets. And how will we recognize false prophets or false teachers? By their fruit. He was speaking of those people who deliberately teach falsely. What is their purpose for being false? Well, we go back to 2 Peter 2, and we also see this in Acts 20. These false prophets do what they do for their own selfish gain. And the Bible treats false prophets and teachers as a reality that will be always with us until the physical return of our Lord, and we need to be aware of how they work. We need to do this. We need to call them out. We need to contend for the faith. We need to do it in love, certainly. We cannot hate them, but we must hate the error that they teach, because it is divisive, it pulls people away from the living God, and it serves themselves, not others. Today, the New Age movement and other components of the New World Order, sadly, have infiltrated Bible-believing churches and Christian ministries. According to Constance Cumby, their expressed goal is to use the evangelical church as the primary instrument to bring the new world order to birth. Wow. You know, Cumby outlines this in the two books previously mentioned. There's simply too much of a coincidence to hear so many leaders within Christendom using terms and verbiage that is common to hear within the New Age movement. You know what's fascinating? Just consider how many churches of this century began fairly conservative, fully ensconced in that conservative, correct doctrinal push. How many schools, how many seminaries, universities did the same? And now consider these very same schools, these very same universities, seminaries, and churches, and how many of them are moved to the left, the far left, where truth is determined by subjectivity, not by God's word. This has become epidemic. And why do so seemingly sincere Christians seem to fall for the bells and the baubles of the New Age in the first place? I think we'll discuss that next time. In the meantime, thank you so much for joining me. Again, I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to Study, Grow, Know, and I would invite you to check out our blog page, studygrowknowblog.com. Thanks so much for joining me, and until we meet again, may God bless you by opening your eyes to see how blessed you truly are in Him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.